Welcome to the podcast for the sisters and bros. It will make you laugh from your head to your toes. Talking about their lives, from the highs to the lows. And the name of the title goes, The Sloppy Joes.
Welcome everyone to the Sloppy Joes podcast. How are you today? Oh God, I fell off my chair.
Jesus Christ, you buckled the beast.
I buckled the beast.
How are you?
Very good, sir.
You look well today.
Are you sure? Do you know what? I woke up this morning and chose positivity.
Chose life.
Yes.
Are you
positivity?
You
had a frittata.
What's that?
Like a posh omelette.
Where?
Made it.
You made a frittata?
Yeah, we're all about the UPFs now.
Oh, yeah.
No chemicals at all. Becky's fuming that I'm talking about her bread and mayo.
Is she?
But we continue the no chemicals in our food chat. Spinach, onions, eggs, cheese. Yes, please. Frittata.
I watched a video about of a man who seems, from every video I've ever seen, is permanently in the same polo shirt. You might have seen him knocking about. He's always doing a seminar or he's chatting to some bulky boy at a table about health.
Please.
You know the types.
Think so, yeah.
Sometimes I get sucked in by him, I'll be honest.
I bet you do.
Sometimes I do. I've been doing cold showers for over a year.
He's still doing cold showers?
Yeah, I did one this morning.
What about that mad time of your life where you had like your personal trainer on your phone?
Yeah.
And you were speaking to her and she set you like alerts every half an hour.
Oh, Daphne? Oh, yeah.
She's dead, isn't she?
So for those who don't remember or didn't see, and I'll get back into this bloke with the polo shirt. Daphne was my sort of pre-programmed personal assistant. Now, she would give me notifications every 20, 30 minutes throughout the day of like how to structure my day, what to do next, because I was forgetting stuff too often.
Yeah.
The problem with Daphne is she has been put into managed decline because too many circumstances changed where she was just giving me notifications that were basically defunct. Like there was a lot of running training there, which I wasn't doing anymore. There's a lot of, she became unwell, essentially. If she was a human, you'd say, oh, she hasn't moved with the times. We've had to get rid of her.
Really?
But she might need reprogramming because I am missing things. I'm forgetting things.
What do you forget the most?
To have fun? I forget to eat enough protein. Yeah. Fun, yeah. But the thing with Daphne is she's legally not allowed to tell me to have more fun.
No.
So this bloke was talking about the amount of chemicals in all vegetables. He says he doesn't eat vegetables.
So,
but then he actually
some veggie good.
Well, look, he goes on to say that he eats broccoli, asparagus, kale, I think.
Just the green ones.
And like one other, the real dark green piece. But he says all the others are packed with so many chemicals because of the like growing procedure.
Really?
But again, shit. Who is this man? You know these people, you see them all the time, these fitness boys, and it's always a man, yeah. And they're always telling you something, and they're always waking up earlier than their mates.
Some of them go to bed
45 minutes after they've woken up.
I know, it's mad.
You know what I mean? That's how late, like, I wake up. When do you wake up? Just before I go to bed. That doesn't even make sense. Some of these guys are just staying up 24/7. Do you know like how the sun never quite sets in Norway in the winter? They never quite go to bed because just as they're about to go to bed, they're woken up for the next day.
That the sun never sets in Norway.
I know. Well, it does.
When?
Winter.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing. But these blokes always die when they're like 57, don't they? They're the most incredibly like bothered about their fitness and their this, that, and the other. And they're always dead by 60. They never, you know when you see like a 138-year-old Japanese man in a wheelchair?
Yeah.
He's never gone, I woke up at 4 a.m. every day did testosterone tests every 4 weeks.
Did you watch that program about how to live to 100?
No.
Well, Netflix did a thing where they went and studied like parts of the world where people lived longer and essentially eat olive oil and live somewhere hilly.
You told me about this, wasn't it somewhere in Japan, somewhere in Italy?
Yeah.
And there was one other, wasn't there?
Canada.
Was it Canada? There was three different places in the world where like the number of centenarians or whatever they're called.
So high.
It's so high.
Live somewhere hilly so you're always active.
That's good.
Drink olive oil, feta cheese. And then you're done. You're done. 100 here we come, boys.
Really? So are you taking any of that into account? Stockport's
not very hilly. No, it depends if you live in the hilly bit. The underbank's quite hilly. You're getting up and down them stairs and the underbank's quite tricky.
That's true.
This I tried to walk up your flights of stairs today in this office.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny that you've got two two spaces in this office. One's on the very bottom floor, and the other's on floor four.
The very top floor, yeah.
It's like you're like a sandwich. You're like sandwiching in all the other
businesses, and we're really applying pressure. We're the sort of the toasty maker,
yeah,
to those other businesses. We'll really put pressure on if we need to. Ethan James,
Ethan James,
How are you, Ethan?
Yep, I am here.
Your hair looks good today. I like it in a slightly more kind of relaxed mode. It looks nice.
Well, it's horrible and rainy outside, and I was hoping to look quite nice today, and then it ruined it. I had a shave.
Did you?
Yep.
I thought you were doing Movember.
Yeah, I was. And then I just thought, I don't think it's worth it.
Although, do you know when I stop doing my challenges, like Sober October?
Yeah.
And I get shit.
Yeah.
He was doing one where you literally just have to do nothing.
Yeah.
Apart from let your hair grow out.
Yeah.
And we're going to let him get away with that.
And it's for men's mental health as well.
Yeah. And mine's deteriorating now.
Well, yeah, that's slightly pathetic, isn't it, Ethan?
Well, it just shows, I think you should have more sympathy for me, that my mental health wasn't good enough to help me see my way out of this challenge. So that's not my fault. I'm actually the victim here of my own downfall.
Yeah, whatever.
I've got some new stories to bring to us.
Hit me.
Let me hit you with this bad boy. Walkers have announced that they're axing a crisp flavour. It's the Caramac of the.
Okay, I don't know about this. So can I guess?
Yeah.
So Walker's crisps are getting rid of a flavour.
Yeah.
Is it like a plain Walker's flat potato crisp? It's not like one of the ones Walker's own, like Monster Munch.
Yeah. It's one of their flavours.
Barbecue.
Barbecue rib apparently went earlier this year, but congratulations, you get half a point.
They're not getting rid of prawn cocktail, salt and vinegar, ready salted or cheese and onion.
No.
They are locked in.
Roast chicken.
Great shout, unfortunately. Wrong.
I don't think they can get rid of smoky bacon.
No.
Not in this current climate.
Hell. I could eat a smoky bacon packet of crisps right now.
Worcester sauce is dead, isn't it?
Worcester sauce came back from the dead.
And it's gone again.
And it's...
Is that the one that's gone?
It's gone again. Ethan's got it right. See, what Joe was doing there was figuring it out logically, and he was just shouting stuff out.
Well, I like that. We've got two different opinions, two different ways of doing it.
And apparently so are the salt and vinegar quavers. They're gone.
Yeah, gone.
Unfortunate, that, isn't it?
Pat Sharp advertised them.
The salt and vinegar quavers?
Yeah, Pat Sharp.
What? How do you know that?
He's from Funhouse. I liked Funhouse.
When did
Pat
Funhouse...
Pat Sharp's Funhouse? That was on in like the mid-80s.
When did you watch that?
I just used to like it.
Did you know it on DVD or something?
Google when Pat Sharp's Funhouse
came on. Pat Sharp's Funhouse.
That was before.
Even
we
I
were
don't
born.
Remember Pat Sharp's Funhouse.
But he was doing the Quavers advert. He quite liked Quavers.
Where were you born, Ethan?
Newcastle.
Nope. When?
Oh, 99.
Great. What date is it? Sorry, April.
April.
He would have. Pat Sharp's Funhouse ended in December 1999. So you had 5 months of the Funhouse. What were your highlights of that show?
Oh, I just quite like the all the challenges they had.
What is going on here? He's hard to speak to sometimes. Pat Sharp's Funhouse. Kids TV for me is Dick and Dom in the Bungalow.
Yeah. Dick and Dom in the Bungalow. That was great. That felt like a real movement, didn't it, at the time? Dick and Dom in the Bungalow was like the last of basically adults taking the piss out of kids on telly. You can't really do that anymore, can you? Everything has to be, oh, well done, it's amazing. That was like, they just call them idiots and stuff.
Yeah.
Which, you know, sometimes you need a bit of that. Throw an egg at them, dip them in a hot chocolate or whatever.
What?
I don't know. You see that episode? You know, all those sorts of things. They used to do a bit of that. I like Dick and Dom in the Bungalow. It was a fantastic little show. But I never got to watch it because I was
always
playing football.
Now they just do DJ sets.
Do they?
Like us. Come and see Joe and Joe in the Bungalow.
Yeah, the Joe McGrath Christmas party. You want
to
get out?
You need to streamline it more. I take on the criticism.
You want
to
go out. You want to have a dance. You want to have a big night. Have a few beers. Have a few drinks. Joe's bringing the sniff. You can do all of that at Joe McGrath's Christmas party.
Can
tickets
I tell
in
you
the description.
A bit about it.
Genuinely,
right?
What is it?
So essentially, I've wanted to do a little celebration for a while because I thought, this music podcast where it's just me talking about music is launching in December.
Is this streamlining the message?
This is what I mean.
Okay.
So I thought I'd do a launch party for that. But then I was like, but we're not doing anything. So I booked the venue.
Right.
And I, you know, that got all sorted. But I was like, well, me and you aren't doing anything, are we? For Sloppy Joe's. So why don't we have a little Sloppy Joe's party? And then Ethan said he couldn't come. And then it's Becky's 30th, so she's bringing all of her mates, and it's Lennon's birthday as well. So essentially, we're just calling it Joe McGraw's Christmas Party.
Yeah.
And the headline in it is Joe Smith.
A knees up, a booze up.
Yes.
Come down. It's just a night out, like a little DJ night out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dancing, singing.
Tops off,
bit of music, loving it. Perfect.
No sniff.
Link in the description.
Where's it at?
Canvas. So just off Oxford Road. It's near a place called Hello Oriental, which... What?
What's that got to do with that? No one's ever heard of Hello Oriental.
Yeah, is that three-story Chinese restaurant?
Oh, they have heard of that then.
Yeah. What's your story of the day?
I know it's almost become a thing, and it's become almost a kind of an anti-woke mantra at this point. And it's one of the few things I agree with. The paper straw, and I'm experiencing it right now, is I don't know how we've got here.
Right.
So the paper straw came in, what? Pretty much three or 4 years ago.
Pre-COVID.
We all saw the video of the turtle getting a straw pulled out of its nose. We saw that.
But that was just one turtle.
We felt for that turtle, though, didn't we? Right? Obviously, he's got a cocaine problem. We can see... There's a reason why he put that straw up his nose in the first place. Right?
Yeah.
So we went, right, we should probably get rid of plastic straws that never degrade because turtles are getting stuck up the nose. There's a dolphin with one that's rammed down its urethra. We can't let this happen. So we thought of, as a species, we thought, what can we make straws out of that would be completely fucking useless? How about a material that literally doesn't last until the end of the drink? It's so degradable. Paper. Now, the thing that fucks me off is, one, don't tell me there isn't a material that is plastic-like, but it degrades over a month or 2 months.
Right.
Something that's like they see it all the time, vegetable-based da-da-da.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah,
yeah. And you see it all the time. Instead, we've gone for a material that is so degradable, you actually can't enjoy the beverage you've bought.
But what else would you use?
Well, I don't know, Joe. Look at this that I've bought here, this Costa coffee that you bought for me. And this is no knock on you. What percentage of that is still plastic?
Yeah.
What, 90%?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All of this is still plastic. It's just the straw that isn't. So it doesn't work. No drink comes through the straw. And this one isn't actually so bad because it's slightly wider gauge. But you know the thin straws, like a McDonald's straw?
Oh,
if you get a large drink from McDonald's, before you have finished that drink, that straw doesn't work.
Yeah.
We are literally we're producing them, we're using all the energy to make these paper straws, we're handing them out, and they are literally inept. How is the final decision gone? Right, these straws, we can't have plastic anymore, so let's literally make it out of something that does not work. What was the other alternative? Mashed potato or candy
floss straws? We could use like penne pasta, just make one really long.
Honestly,
one.
Much better.
It is much better. Sturdier, isn't it, Ethan?
Yes, yes,
it's
sturdier.
Do you know what I mean about the paper? It's literally just a waste of manufacturing. They still take loads of energy and carbon dioxide and all that to make them and fuel, and they don't work. How do we decide on that?
I would maybe, they could make a bit more money and save the planet with edible straws.
At least that's something, genuinely.
What? All right, so you're going to McDonald's, you get yourself a Diet Coke with your cheeseburger, there's an edible straw with it.
Yeah.
What does it taste like, the
could
straw?
Could be made out of sugar cane.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, because that's fucking cheap. Oh,
the Cocoa sugar Pop cane. Tubes that you used to get.
They're plastic.
They're plastic. You can't just make more plastic.
No, they're made of chocolate.
Oh, the chocolate, the wafer. It's like biscuit.
I don't think
but
this is
got
working.
To be a
what
plant,
if you're a Diet
There's got
Coke?
To be a plant-based sort of plastic that you can do. That we know there is.
Well,
there'll
be people working on this 24/7 job.
No, there isn't.
Just
we've
stay
been
with
stuck
it.
With the paper straws for about 4 years. At least Starbucks have the hole cut in it, so you drink it like that. But that's still made of plastic.
True, true, true. Just take the lid off.
Yeah, but then if I knock it, it goes everywhere. I can't believe that we decided on paper straws. It's such a waste. And they get cinched in the middle here to the point where nothing's coming through. Then you go to drink out the top and the top has completely closed on itself.
Then sometimes you get a bit of paper in your mouth.
Sometimes you get a bit of paper in your mouth.
You suck it too hard.
It's like they went, well, we're not allowed plastic. Well, let's literally make it out of the most inconvenient thing we could possibly make it out of. Like, that to punish us for even daring to not want turtles' noses to be stuffed full of straws. Embarrassing. Mm-hmm. What, I actually can't fucking...
All right. That looks like awful, by the way, that Americano you got. Anyway, what's your opinion on Shakespeare?
He's amazing. I'm slightly embarrassed for us as a society that even nearly 500 years after he's died, we still haven't replaced him.
What do you mean?
He is still, by far, the single most reenacted playwright. Like, if you go up and down the country now, there isn't a single person that's written any plays since then that has got more shows on than Shakespeare has.
We've had
450 years, mate.
Yeah, but who's still writing plays like
what?
That? No,
Andrew Lloyd Webber shits out a play every morning.
Well, he's pretty good.
Yeah, but there's not.
We'll still be doing Cats in 400 years' time.
Andrew Lloyd Webber's done his best, bless him, right? But even then, there's not as many productions of Cats or whatever. Like, what's he called?
What Phantom about of the Opera. Ever what about Stephen King? He's done pretty well.
No, but he's not even close.
It, The Shining.
Yeah, but no one's doing that.
What? It's the film. He's making more money than Shakespeare.
I'm on about plays.
Plays, like. When was the last time you went to see a play?
I'm going tomorrow to see at the theatre.
What is it? It's got to be Shakespeare, isn't it?
I'm going to see Hamilton.
Yeah, that's probably
that's Shakespeare. Where are you going to see
it? Shakespeare wrote it about a bloke who was born 200 years after Shakespeare died.
It's mad, isn't it? Because I watched Romeo and Juliet at the Royal Exchange on Monday. Brilliant. A mate of mine is Romeo.
Oh my God.
I know. I've not seen him in 10 years. We did drama together in college. We set ways, and he went on to become a star. Romeo, Romeo, where art thou, Romeo? It was great fun.
Romeo and Juliet was great fun.
Nah, the middle bit drags. Yeah. But when it gets to the good stuff, do you know
the
when
deaths.
They all start the deaths and that, they start scrapping, you're like, this is belting.
It's so overdone, isn't it?
What?
Like, Romeo and Juliet is so overdone. Like, there's other things now, just move on. Do you know what I mean? Even that fucking Romeo and Juliet one, fuck off. Do you know what I mean? That was shocking, wasn't it?
I never saw Romeo and Juliet.
It came out when I was about 24 and watching Romeo and Juliet.
You're listening to him, Shakespeare, you know, going on, you think, fucking hell, he's clever.
Yeah.
Mm.
But when did he get all the time?
What?
Like, do you know there's a conspiracy that it's not really like one person?
Yeah. What's the
other
guy's
name? The more I listen, I think, maybe they've got a point.
What's the other guy's name who supposedly was like writing him with him or for him?
Charles Dickens?
No. Maybe we could Google that between some of the laptops between us.
I don't want to be on my laptop. You can Google it. Right, so they think there was two of them, like a double header.
Yeah, or like there was one bloke that kind of was writing either with him or for him.
So maybe they would, yeah.
And Shakespeare was sort of took the credit as like the head of this little group. And there was more than one person writing it. But like some of them, he's written, I don't know how many he's written, but somewhere in the region of, I'm going to guess, around 30.
Yeah, yeah.
And you think like some of these, he must have just, you know, like Noel Gallagher's like, it took more time to sing than it did to write.
Yeah.
Like I reckon some of these, he's writing them just sort of as he's saying them.
Yeah, yeah,
do you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah,
like he just, it took him, how long is the play? 3 hours. It took him 3 hours to write it.
Yeah.
Like how fast can you write? I think some of them, like when he's doing like, do you know when it's like King this and that, King Eight,
King Lear,
the Eighth and the Ninth and the Tenth?
Macbeth's one of my favourites.
Richard the Third, Richard the Fourth, and he's just sneaking ones in. I think if you actually read some of these,
he wrote so much. Let me get this out.
He's relying on the fact that no one's actually read some of the sequel ones.
Can I say, it's mad that someone was the original Romeo and Juliet.
Amazing, wasn't it?
You're stunned.
Yeah.
Read that.
Christopher Marlowe might be a pseudonym. No, because that's a pseudonym, isn't it?
What does a pseudonym mean? Is that like what you put?
Henry Neville.
Henry
Can you
Neville.
Scroll up a little bit, please. I can't read that.
Right, I've got all of his plays in front of me.
The real author has been identified by various writers as Christopher Marlowe, Francis Bacon.
Francis Bacon.
He's a painter. And the Earl of Oxford, Edward de Vere. Now, a new book claims that the real bard was Sir Henry Neville, an English courtier and distant relative of the Stratford Shakespeare. See, there's all sorts of rumours.
So they don't reckon it right. So how old was Shakespeare when he died? Google that for us.
He died on his birthday.
I know, I said that, innit? Hey, let me Google age. Age at death. 52. All right. He had a good innings then. I'm looking at this. Macbeth, Othello.
We're not going through all of them.
Romeo and Right, okay, won't go through all of them. But anyway, he wrote a lot.
Yeah.
Much about nothing.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, did he really do all these?
And the other thing as well is, do you know some of them, like, he invented just, like, whole genres and, like, storylines.
No,
do you know, like, he invented comedy, Did you know that? He invented like tragedy. And you think, like, how could one bloke have literally invented the entire story writing canon that we still base everything on today?
Maybe like, a
comedy isn't necessarily funny, is it? It's any story that ends with a happy ending. I think that was the original meaning of it.
Yeah.
And a tragedy is any story that ends with a sad ending. Yeah. And he invented that. He invented storytelling. He is, to be fair to him, if it was just one bloke, he is absolutely sensational.
He must have been on a bit of fucking
Was it? Hang on, I know this is a bit nerdy, but I believe it was Aristotle who invented tragedy because he was Greek, and it's Greek tragedy.
Yeah.
Love that. Might be right.
Fair play.
Yeah.
But do you know what? I hope it is just one geezer. The only thing about the conspiracy that it's more than one person is like, why would they just want Shakespeare to get all the glory?
Maybe he was the powerful one. Maybe he just took their words from him.
Powerful. Looks like you could have him in a fight.
No, it's not about fighting, is it?
Macbeth's sick, innit?
Love it. Macbeth's sick. Yeah, he has done amazingly well, Shakespeare. And the thing that slightly frustrates me, though, is he invented loads of words, didn't he? Like hundreds of words.
Yeah.
And when he does it, everyone calls him a genius because he came up with like brilliant or splendid or like...
Did he?
Literally loads of them. Or loads of them. I think YOLO and, you know, stuff like that. And yet if you try and come up with a word now, a new word, or if you, because like I've got a few that I've come up with,
yeah.
But no one's like, oh, you're amazing. You're like, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. So Gary Lineker took the piss out of Ashley Williams for using the phrase Dyche-ish to describe Sean Dyche football. He mocked him.
Yeah, exactly. So I've got a few words here if I could go through them.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's an obvious one. This kind of gets used anyway. But instead of to squeeze or to have squoze. Squoze.
What?
Like if, oh.
Oh, I've squoze one out.
Yeah. I sorry about that. I just squoze one out.
Oof.
That works, doesn't
it? It does work, yeah.
So if something's getting close, it's closening.
Nice.
That's a word. That could be a word.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. Instead of somewhere or somewhat, some why.
Nice.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know why. Why did you? Some why. You know, that's some why. I don't know why I did it. Some why I did it. That makes sense, doesn't
it? I love it.
And my favourite one.
Yeah.
If you're like, oh, did you sprint there? Yeah, I sprint. I sprint all the way here. It's like the past tense of sprinting.
Yeah.
Sprint. That works, doesn't it? And my other favourite one.
I'm so confused right now.
Do you know when you put
Where did you get these words from?
Oh, I just came up with them ages ago. Do you know when you
What do you mean? What do you mean? We've not planned that we're going to speak about Shakespeare today.
No.
Where did this come from?
This is a note in my phone from 28th of August 2013. I've been building
no,
this.
It's not.
I've been building this legacy.
No.
Look at the top of that. Right? My favourite one.
What were you doing?
Do you know apostrophes and that?
Yeah.
How it's like, it brings two words together, like couldn't. Yeah. So it's could and not. Apostrophe, take the O out, apostrophe. I think we should be allowed more apostrophes. I think we should be apostrophizing full sentences.
Okay.
So instead of like, you know, oh, I couldn't have, why couldn't just be could haven't or couldn't have? Or I could not have. If someone said, why didn't you not do that? And I could say, well, I could have not have. Instead of that, just say, well, I could haven't have. Like, why stop it there? Why are we only allowed one apostrophe? Let's get 3, 4, 5 apostrophes in a word. Instead of saying full sentences, oh, could haven't have. Perfect. And if people look at you, go, you're a twat. And you go, well, Shakespeare wasn't a fucking twat, was he?
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is our English. What is it, language or literature? Chat.
I mean...
Both of them.
Do you wish I'd not done that? Because I could haven't have, if you want me to.
I'm sick of, like, how swear words are still swear words.
Mm.
I get the obvious ones that have like historical meaning behind it, but
like what?
Fuck. Like, you know, like some of the racist ones. But like, yeah. Fuck or shit.
Some of the racist ones. Which of the racist all ones don't you mind?
All of the racist ones. Okay. The ones Ethan says out loud.
No.
All of the fuck, the shits, the dicks, the twats.
Anyone that relates to a body part or a bodily function.
Even the C word, like, well, it feels wrong, the C word.
Yeah.
But like, get over it.
Mm.
Let me say it.
You can say it. You just said loads
I
of it.
I just said it, yeah, to be fair. You know when someone gasps? You ever heard that?
Mm.
Gasp.
Gasp.
A bastard.
That's so old fashioned.
Ethan, how are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm well. I'm well. Any questions for me?
Yeah, but what you mean? What you mean? Have you brought a story or something?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to ask about the concept of free will.
Oh, there we go.
Fucking hell.
What, by Moby Dick?
What? We're hitting some hefty talking points here.
Is it too heavy for us?
No, go for it.
Well, I was just going to say, is free will real? And my reason for that.
What you've been watching? Who's been after you? Who's been at you?
I've not been watching anything. I was just thinking it.
No.
I promise you.
Really?
He's mentioned Aristotle and free will on this show. Something's happened to Ethan.
I feel spooked.
Have you been hit quite severely on the head?
No, I was just thinking, like, if you make a decision, for example, you're going to go to the shops and buy something or whatever.
Yeah.
Is that your choice, or is that just chemicals in your brain who have indicated certain things that have put you down that pathway?
Are they not your chemicals, though?
They are, but I'm not a chemical.
You are.
I'm not.
You are.
What are you, then?
Well, that's exactly it. At what point, maybe the point is, it gets to the spirit of a man, and...
Yeah.
And if my spirit is so, at what point does that spirit make such decisions?
Ooh, that sounded like a Shakespeare quote, didn't it?
And if my spirit is so,
at what point does my spirit make such
decisions? It's a good thing to think about.
Why?
Well, because it's interesting, isn't it?
So you were going to the shop.
Considering the human condition.
Is this me?
Yeah, I like thinking stuff like that. But I think the answer is we don't know, isn't it? You can't know.
No.
What combination of your upbringing, your brain chemistry, the marketing on display in Tesco, this, that, and the other, your club card points.
Is that me or is that the big man?
Because do you ever have it where you're driving and you listen to a podcast or
you want to run someone
a song or you're having a thought about something that's happened in your day or whatever, and you look and... For the first time in about 2 minutes, you realise you weren't consciously looking at the road.
There's the subconscious which looks after you,
yeah,
and makes you do the things that you have been practicing and doing for the most of your life,
yeah.
And then there's your conscious,
but it's that subconscious
is where anxiety comes in and your thoughts come in and.
Is subconscious? What I mean is that subconscious, we don't know how much of a role it plays, and also how much it has been influenced by your upbringing, exactly. What's going on that day. But I think the next question, Ethan, is, does it bother you? Do you mind that you are maybe just a sequence of routines and unconscious decisions?
Well, yeah, because...
Do you feel like you want free will?
Well, maybe I would have achieved more if my spirit had more free will.
Oh, yeah, let's say it's that's the reason.
You're not bothered, are you?
I just think get on with life, because if you start thinking about what you're doing every single day, you'll just be fucking trapped.
If you start thinking...
No, you can think and you can enjoy yourself. And maybe if you want to change certain things, yeah, then act on them.
Yeah.
But when you're just getting, like, sometimes, you know, like driving, if I'm going to think about every single aspect of driving, like, oh, have I just hit that person? Or,
yeah, you know, can't look back,
is that really a red light? Then I'm just going to be stuck.
That's true, yeah.
Crack on.
Yeah.
See you in court.
Have we become horribly Joe Rogan-esque?
Have we fucked?
You fucking have then. Fuck me. Right. I like Joe Rogan's Elon Musk chat. He's a mad guy, isn't he, Elon Musk. Decent guy, but like mad.
Decent guy.
Right, like, I've got a very special 9 out of 10 club to bring to us.
Wait, hang on a sec, Joe. She's the 1 out of 10 club on Friday's show. What's going on here?
We had a really special message come in. Okay. We won't go into too much detail about it, but it's by Joe McNally, another Joe Mux.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of us.
Part of the alumni.
Huh?
Part of the Joe Mux.
What does an alumni mean?
What?
What does an alumni mean?
I don't know the exact definition, but it's usually people who've been to the same college or club or something as each other, university.
Yeah, we got a lovely message.
It's gone. Didn't hear that.
Sorry.
Might as well have not said that.
Presumably Latin, I would guess. Joe sent us a wonderful message about him and his mum. They're going through a pretty rough time at the minute.
Yep.
But watching the Sloppy Joes, as well as Stretford Paddock,
thank you,
the top reds, even if we're a bit rubbish at the moment, is keeping them going through a horrible time. And we got a nice message and I said, oh, well, it's lovely to hear from you, Joe. Is there anything we can do? And then this is what Joe said back. Maybe adding the Wilshire ham and cheese toasty from Costa Club would make her smile into the 9 out of 10 club. Not Jack Wilshire.
No, I was gonna say,
just the Wilshire. It was her favourite scan before
Scran.
The illness. Scran.
Yeah.
So what we've done today is, and we've teased it by having Costa Cups on the table.
I mean, if you couldn't have guessed it from that, I don't know how you could.
We are going to be, now bearing in mind, don't be tight.
What a teaser that
what
is.
What a teaser that was. That was a real Easter egg, that.
I'm worried, are you going to be nice here? Because Joe and his mum need
I tell you, needs right, nice. I've read
if
this
I'm
email.
I'm going to cheese toasty out and you slag it
I've
off.
I've read this email. Joe and his mum have a very special place in my heart, as they do with all of us. Now, the one thing we aren't going to be doing, and I don't think anyone would want this, Joe, is sacrificing the reputation of the 9 out of 10 club. This has to be honest. No one wants a handout. No one wants a freebie. No one wants a, oh, here you go. This is what we do. Yeah? We do what we do. And we review food, Joe.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Costa Coffee Ham and Cheese Toasty Oof. Is here for us all to try. Ethan, you're coming around. I'm going to rip a bit off you, bad boy.
Let's have now, a little piece on this. Oh, it's you know what?
Right then. Come on, Ethan.
It smells great.
Now, get in there, my boy. Ooh. Ooh, I'll tell you what, not bad.
There's a little something to it. What's that little moistness?
It must be like a cheese sauce. Ethan, just remember, if you read the message, don't be tight.
You're pathetic, you are.
I'm not pathetic.
I am. Well, I don't know why I said I am. I am, but you are as well. We're both on. Okay.
Can I say, when I worked at a place called The Vinery in Stockport, my first job. You going to be sick then?
No.
I was a coffee boy. Best in the business. Man of the boy.
Best in the business. You're even the best in that business.
I was. The ham and cheese toasties there. Oh, fucking phenomenal. And they hold a special place in my heart.
Yeah.
This is like a ham and cheese toasty, but one of the pieces of bread has got extra cheese on the top.
And the other piece isn't toasted. If you notice, it's a cooked down grilled method, isn't it?
Ethan?
It's oh, delicious. Well, I must say, in general, the toasty, it gives me a bit of PTSD from the days of going to school, get up at 7 a.m. and I have a toasty, and I remember sitting in my stepdad's...
You have a toasty at 7 a.m?
Yep, I'd have a 7 a.m. toasty.
That's the Sam Allardyce thing I've ever heard that. You know he has three toasties before he goes to work.
What toasties are you having at 7 a.m?
Oh, well, my stepdad would usually make me like a cheese and onion one. And I'd sit in
fuck
his...
Fuck off. There is no way you're having cheese and onion before school.
I would.
7 a.m?
I'd have a cheese and onion toasty before school. And I'd remember getting in the car and eating it in the car inside some kitchen roll. And the
heat... Well, you were, or the sandwich was? What was in the kitchen roll?
The toasties in there. And I remember just sitting in the car, and the heater wouldn't work, so I'd be really cold. So the only thing I'd have to warm me up would be the toasty.
You going to school, right? He goes to school with a big rash on his face because he's allergic to the house cat. Then his stepdad feeds him a cheese and onion toasty whilst he's in the car, so his breath fucking stinks. And he goes in shivering. He looks like a wreck when he walks through the door.
Big red frozen oniony bastard just walking through the corridors with a big golf ball sized lump on his thigh. Like, what a lad. What an absolute demon.
Well,
you must have been at school.
I'd feel gross those mornings. But I must say, now I can enjoy a toasty in this day and age, maybe in a cafe, maybe at home, maybe on a park bench.
Are you on the PR team for toasties.inc? Because you are really selling this. Well, wait, so in a cafe, at home, park bench.
You can eat them anywhere. They're quite you can take them out, can't you?
Yeah, quite portable, aren't they?
Yeah, and
he's on the wind up recently.
I don't know what's happening to him. We need to have a chat.
I must say, I've had this toasty from Costa many a time.
It's not a rarity to Ethan.
And it gives me good memories this time round. Yeah. I like Costa. It's warm. And... God.
Such basic... These are the sorts of things that, like, a single-celled amoeba would say about things. I like it. It's warm. All he's got on his body is just temperature sensors. He doesn't have flavour. He doesn't have memories or emotions. It's just, is it hot? Is it cold?
And the thing about this toasty in particular...
It's very warm.
It's the bit of sauce that you mentioned.
Yeah, I don't know what that sauce
is. It's nice.
But it takes
must be like
it up.
A bechamel.
Oh, yes, please.
A cheesy bechamel.
Yes, please.
Right. I don't think it's in. I'm only joking.
You know what?
It's in. It's in the 9 out of 10 club. It's phenomenal.
I tell you what.
Also, it was called that. We ordered that 20 minutes ago.
Yeah. What I will say about it, genuinely, it's a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
It was delicious.
Because sometimes, especially if it's been out for a bit, but the ham is tasty.
Big that chunky sauce, ham.
That sauce is lovely. The cheese, the extra cheese on top that's been toasted.
Ooh.
I think it's as good a ham toasty as I've had. It's absolutely delicious.
It's getting in for me.
Ethan?
Well, it's nearly there, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is.
Don't be fucking tired.
It's nearly there.
You fucking...
And I must say...
If he says no now, if you say no... Go on.
It's definitely an 8.5 for me.
Joe, don't.
What a position I'm in. It's delicious.
You gotta put it in, Joe. Don't be fucking tight.
No, here's the thing. It's delicious.
They go for a hard time. They don't need to get a rejection.
It's not a rejection.
It is.
This is. It's a delicious bit of food. How much was it? Can I ask that? Because that could be my deciding factor.
£4.
Oof. You're joking, aren't you?
What do you want me to say?
£2.95 would have been great.
Oof. Costa.
You're
mad.
I'm going to have to agree with Ethan. Oh, it's delicious. It's a lot better than I thought it was going to be. The sauce, the extra cheese on top. The thing I think is, like, actually, you know what? I think if it had a dip with it, if I had like a little caramelised onion, a little ketchup.
Are you fucking joking? If you had a dip with it?
Yeah.
What is this?
I think I need some acidity.
What is this?
It's a little rich for pop. Okay? So I'm going to give it an 8.5 out of 10. It doesn't quite get in, but it is delicious. And I genuinely thank Joe for his email. And I thank Joe and his mum for that delicious toasty, because it was very, very good. But you know what? It's not quite there for me.
Can I just say, I'll put Joe Smith in that position to expose the cold-hearted bastard for the man he is.
Go on then.
All along, it was a 9 out of 10 for me.
Yeah! Go, you club! Put your hands down!
It's in! You know, well done, so he's down. Got in the 9 out of 10 club! Well done, Ethan, what a guy.
I need a fucking dip. What? Who gets a dip with a toasty from a coffee shop?
Caramelised onion chutney in the bag at all
times.
Go off
your head. Then it'd be like £8.
Yeah.
The cheese and toasty is in, ladies and gentlemen.
Fantastic.
Right, enjoy your weekend.
Oh, what a weekend coming up, eh?
Go on.
What?
What?
I ain't got any plans.
Oh, right, yeah. Just one of those weekends.
Oh, one of those big ones.
Nude.
Dude.
For a day.
Oof.
Anyway, we've been
fruit
the
sloppy... Veg.
Huh?
Fruit and veg, you mean?
Yeah. Like a carrot afterwards. We have been the Sloppy Joe's podcast. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye. Wave, Ethan, please.
Ta-ra. We'll see you again.